You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
We're going to kick things off, as we usually do, with a sense of how the markets have been moving throughout the day. And joining me to take a look at these market movements and try and understand what's been happening is Head of Research at F&B Wealth and Investments, Chantel Marks. Good evening, Chantel. Lovely to speak to you, as always. It seems like we can't get our minds made up. And by we, I mean the markets. We had a really good week last week, today, and this week. We've started off the week in negative territory, but commodities are doing well, but equities aren't. Everything's all a mess.
Yeah, so I mean, if you look at the market today, it actually didn't look too bad towards the close. So we had a very tough open, definitely some downward pressure there. But it looks like our market wants to push higher. I think what we're just lacking at the moment is a catalyst. And obviously, we're in an environment where there's a lot going on from a risk perspective. Geopolitical risk, we have politics in the US that still need to play out. And the impact on markets there, I think, is a big question mark as well. And as we know, if it's volatile in the US and it's volatile globally, investors tend to stay away from emerging markets to a certain extent, and we're just a casualty of that.
Chantel, how do we find that catalyst? Because we've speculated about this for a number of weeks. We've sat down, we've spoken about this, and we've even tried to kind of uncover what undervalued markets might look like or where the value might be. What kind of catalyst are we waiting for? Because I imagine the only real event that's outstanding for this year is that US election. We've gone through interest rate conversations. We're starting that interest rate cutting cycle. Inflation is kind of hopefully behind us. Not going to say it too many times. But what kind of catalyst are we looking for here?
So I think from a global markets perspective, the some certainty on the political front, I think, would be great, particularly as it relates to the US. And then from a South African market perspective, I think the biggest catalyst that we are missing out on, or that we're missing at the moment, is some decent flows from foreign investors. We've already started seeing local investors getting back into the South African market, becoming more interested in local stocks. We've seen SA Inc. push higher a little bit. Well, not a little bit, a lot of it, but it can still go higher. Those valuations are still depressed. So what we need is some foreign flows. And then I think what we also need from a South African perspective is some solid gains on the commodities front. So we have had a period of very weak industrial metal prices. And I do think that if we start seeing that cycle turns, which I guess is going to be a function of the Chinese growth story and perhaps more confidence from a global markets perspective, then I think it could be really, really positive for us.
Chantel, what do you do if we don't see that? What's the plan B here? I'm thinking about the fact that, as you said, our local guys have put in what they've put in into the market, into getting the market restarted. And obviously, a lot of it still rests on the reforms that we need to see. We need to have South Africa be more attractive to those international investors. And that includes everything from transport and logistics and things with our SOEs, right down to getting off a grey list and all of those sorts of factors that are still up in the air are possibly what's holding sentiment back. What happens if those are still delayed? How do we realize the momentum and not fall behind?
So I think your plan B is just what should have been your plan A all along. You look at companies that have quality management teams that can grow in any economic circumstance, and we've had evidence of that over the last few years. You look at companies that generate high and growing cash flows and that have a solid history of executing on strategy and investing capital and getting decent returns on it. So that strategy, I think, remains in place. The only difference would be you probably won't get kind of super normal returns from these companies. It'll be more or less what we saw in the past. So if the company's quality, it will deliver the returns. And I think when there's uncertainty around, your best thing to do is to look for opportunities at acquiring some of those companies at decent valuations. Because if things go in our favor, you might not get that opportunity again anytime soon.
Identify the quality companies. Is We Buy Cars one of those quality companies? They gave us a trading update today, and it's for the full year ended September, and I suspect this is going to be the first time, I think it is, yes, we listed this year, so this will be the first set of complete numbers for a financial year. What did the trading update provide us with in terms of insights and clarity?
So they said that core headline earnings are expected to increase by between 21 and 26%, so call about 23.5% at the midpoint, which I think is really, really solid. Headline earnings per share expected to grow slower, but that's because they issued new shares when they listed. So that's not really something that I would be overly concerned about. The 23.5% is basically the momentum that they have in profitability in that business. And that is huge, particularly if you consider the very difficult trading environment that we've had over the last year or so. I mean, things have started to feel better more recently, but the reality is that interest rates have been very high, inflation has been high, disposable income hasn't been great, confidence has slowly improved, but not at a level where people feel comfortable going out and making big ticket purchases like a vehicle. But WeBuyCars continues to gain market share, and they're executing really well on their plans. And from what management said at the listing, there's still a lot more to come here. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the full set of results, looking at the nitty-gritty, looking at those cash flow numbers and how they're able to to generate cash flow based on that revenue and profitability that we're talking about. I think the valuation still looks okay. And yeah, I mean, this is a company that I think I'm very excited about over the medium to long term.
Chantal, I want to quickly glance at transaction capital while we're looking at WeBuyCars. Obviously, the relationship between the two has been intertwined for the longest time. And following that unbundling, we kind of saw transaction capital come and settle around that 3 rand 60, 3 rand 50 mark. We're below 3 rand a share at the moment. How are we feeling about that particular stock? I mean, since that unbundling, the share price has really struggled to even come back above 3 rand.
Yes, and I think that that speaks to the trust deficit that management has with shareholders, or shareholders have with management. I mean, the implosion of SA Taxi really caught so many investors off guard, and the fallout of that has been very, very significant. So I think even though the stock is undervalued, even though they have started the process of divesting from SA Taxi and are going to rebrand as Newton, and Newton is a business where we see growth possibly going forward, it's just the name is a little bit tainted now. So I think it'll take a while for them to gain the trust of shareholders again and actually breach that. I think you probably have a fair value of about 5 or 6 rand on the stock, but trading at 3 rand, and I don't see it getting meaningfully higher than that in the near term.
They still have their work cut out for them. Chantal, let's look at Sasol quickly. They put out a production statement for the 3 months ended September. Anything surprise you there?
Not at all. What was surprising was how surprised the market was by this business update. I mean, we know chemical prices are under pressure, so margins are under pressure there. We know the rand is stronger, and that isn't great for Sasol. We know that they've had issues with coal quality and their mining business. So none of this is actually new news. I think that the market is just so over Sasol and how weak it's been operationally and how poor the share price has been, and momentum is downwards and sentiment is downbeat, that when they put out something that's, I mean, even though it's expected, is a little bit negative, the stock just gets beaten down. So I'm still staying away from this one. I think there's a place for it and there will be opportunities. But yeah, for now, that momentum is just so negative.
At what point do we stop beating down on a stock like Sasol? And I ask this only because I'm looking at the share price. We're back at September 2020 levels, effectively undoing the last 4 years of price movement to the upside. So you're getting in at a four-year discount, effectively. We can potentially go lower, but any lower than this, and I'm seeing this as the big oil crash of the start of the pandemic. Can we realistically say that there's still further downside on the Sasol share price, or is this kind of getting to as low as it can be?
So I think that what Sasol really needs is for chemical prices to recover meaningfully so that they can recover some margin there. They need oil prices to stabilize and perhaps push higher a little bit. And then they need better operational execution. So I think if you get that combo, or you start seeing the beginnings of that combo actually playing out, that will be quite positive for them. So what do we need? We need higher economic growth. We need certainty around oil supply and demand, which we don't have at the moment, given what's going on in the Middle East and with the lack of demand that's, or the lack of perceived demand that's coming through from China. And then operationally, things just haven't been moving smoothly. So I think that once you start seeing them bringing out updates that don't have the same downbeat tone, and where you can actually start seeing go forward momentum for Sasol, the market will start getting interested again. And perhaps then at some point the stars will align for Sasol. But this is a cyclical company, Jimmy. So people need to understand that. It's not one that you hold and it just keeps on going higher and higher. There'll be times when it behaves like it's behaving now, but of course the flip side is also true.
Chantal, let's wrap things up with a company that's less cyclical, but that has also been in the news lately, Sasfin. They gave us their numbers for the financial year. I don't know if you got a chance to take a look at those audited numbers. It does look like we kind of were being prepared for this leading up to these numbers. But still, for group headline earnings to be down more than 100%, all of those numbers, profits down as well quite significantly. What do we make of these numbers, and does it just reaffirm the conversations that have been happening that we're likely to see Sasfin delisting sometime soon?
Yes, so I've had a quick glance at these numbers, and it doesn't make for pretty reading. And I think that actually gives a firm case for why this company should delist. I mean, it's had a lot of negative press for various reasons over the last few years. And perhaps it's better for them to kind of right the ship in an unlisted environment, and for shareholders to at least realize something from their ownership of Sasfin shares. I think I'm not saying that they can't turn the story around in a listed environment, but I think that it's probably just a better idea to move away from the limelight a little bit while they try and figure out a way forward.
Lots to think about, lots to reflect on, and lots of decisions for companies to make, but we'll keep an eye on these and hopefully we can see some form of positive movements as we wrap up the year. We definitely want to be ending the year on a high, but we'll have to end this conversation here for now because we've run out of time. Thank you so much, as always, Chantal, for the time and for the insights. To Chantal Marks, Head of Research at F&B Wealth and Investments, on the market movements as well as some company news and what could potentially be driving sentiment going forward.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.